Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Hey, good morning to you. It is Wednesday morning, 9:08. Today's the 14th day of May. McCray Hepler is on the line with me. McCray couldn't be here in person, but he graciously agreed to get a hold of us via the telephone. McCray, thanks for being on the show, man. It's always good to talk to you.
Hey, thanks, Andy. Appreciate you having me on. And, yeah, sorry I couldn't be in the studio.
I feel like I'm like three videos behind. I'm watching them as quickly as I can, and I have seen them all. But I had to cheat a little bit this morning and do it while another program was on. But your latest video just dropped, like, what was it, like a half hour ago?
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm back out. I'm actually doing my next video right now.
Yeah, you got it. Everybody's like, tell us about that one video you did 2 weeks ago. You're like, that was like three or four videos ago, man. Come on. So, all right, let's talk about Leverkin and these. Is it called Zion Canyon Hot Springs? Is that the name of it?
Yeah. That's the name of it, Zion Canyon Hot Springs.
Now, this is land that is still owned by the Water Conservancy District, but they leased it out to these folks called, what was the name of the corporation?
World Springs.
World Springs, okay. And they built something special, haven't they?
Yeah, it's a sweet, sweet property. They've done a great job. And 53 bodies of water, 32 of those from the hot springs. And, they've got a big freshwater pool. They've got a kid area for families. And then they've got a 21 and older area that are they're separate. Really just it's a pretty massive get for Southern Utah because it's right outside of Zion National Park and usually these hot springs are like the number one draw for an area, where they're at, in other places of the country. But the fact that we have, Zion National Park and this sits right outside of it is big.
Now, tell what's the easiest way to get? I know they don't open yet, so don't go there now, folks. But they open next month. Tell us the easiest way to get there. Is it right off of state?
Yeah, it's right off of state. You just if you're coming from Hurricane and you cross over the bridge, right by a lot of people know River Rock, the coffee place is right there on the cliff. It's literally right across the street from there. You'll see a big parking lot. And that's where it is.
Zion Canyon Hot Springs. And what, tell us about the world thing. I guess they're doing springs that have the mineral makeup of different places around the world. Is that what it is?
Yeah. So, and I don't have the specifics, but 16 of the pools, are different mineral makeups from the different, so you're basically in the water of a place. Like as if you were experiencing it from another part, you know, another part of the world, which is because all the different hot springs have different makeups of minerals, which is pretty cool.
So when someone says water is just water, it's all the same. That's actually not true, is it?
It's not. No, it's not.
All right.
And it's really cool that they're taking this water out of these hot springs, which is full of arsenic and H2S and really, really harmful. It's unusable water, and in many regards. And so then, you know, they're taking it in, they're filtering it through their big system, and then once they're done with the water, they pump it right back into the Virgin River, which I think is really cool as well.
And one other thing you mentioned in your video is that, you know, maybe we don't get as many visitors in the wintertime as we might, but just because of the weather and everything makes it so people don't come. This might be actually a pretty big winter attraction.
Yes. Yeah, that's another big thing for the tourist business community, the hospitality, is that, from November to February, there's not as much traffic. So a lot of places in the smaller towns, they'll just kind of close, they're seasonal open and close. And so I think this will give a boost in that winter time frame that will keep a lot of those businesses thriving, which I think is great, too.
I had also heard they do want local customers to come, and they're actually offering a little bit of a discount in the future for people that live in Washington County.
Yes, that is true. And actually, I think I forgot to mention that in the video. But yes, they are offering discounts for locals.
Very, very cool. All right, we got a couple. We only have you for a couple of minutes. A couple of other things. First of all, Farmstead Bakery, a great local success story with Chris Connors and what they've been able to do so far. But they've got to lose the name. They're not going out of business, but they've got to change their name. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so they're growing, as we all know. It's become the most popular bakery, not only in southern Utah, but in the whole state. You know, all the visitors from Salt Lake. That is one of the top spots that they all have to hit while they're here. And as he's grown, he's having more opportunities to grow. But in order to do that, they had to get their trademark, and they tried with a little company out of Northern California. I think it's Northern California. That wouldn't relinquish it. And anyway, so he's like, well, I guess we gotta just rip the Band-Aid off and change the name. And I think they picked a really great one. At first, it was a little weird for me just because I am a local and I've known it since the day they opened as Farmstead, and it's just one of the staples. So I told Chris that first day when I first heard Bon Roux, I was trying to get it to roll off my tongue. Like, oh yeah, let's go to Bon Roux. And it just wasn't, I was like, oh, I can't, you know, I'm just resisting the change.
Yeah.
But then as time has gone on, when I say let's go to Bon Roux, I think it's a great fit. Great name.
Bon Roux, the new name for Farmstead. Chris told me a couple of things about it. He said it's actually a restaurant and not a bakery that they're getting, you know, the trademark issues from. It's Farmstead restaurant. The other thing is that he offered him what he felt like was an obscene amount of money for them to let them use it. And the family said, no, thanks. So.
Yep, exactly.
It happens. All right.
It does. It happens. And I think it'll be a good next step for their company, and I'm excited.
One last thing. You had a chance in one of your recent videos to go out to the Leeds and Tokerville area. I think the big thing on everyone's mind is that Chief Toker Reservoir, and then the bypass road around Tokerville. That's a pretty big deal. Where are we at on that?
Yeah, huge deal. So the Tokerville Parkway. It will open first. That's right off of exit 27, which is the SR-17. That right now it's the northern, really the entrance into Zion and into the county from the north side. And right now the SR-17 state road is through the downtown Leverk or downtown Tokerville.
Yeah.
And so this parkway will take it, will bypass all of that. It'll be a straight shot. It's about a 4.5 mile road that goes down into the, where they're cutting out into SR-17 up into Leverkin, and is going to be done sometime in July or August is what they're shooting for. And then that will be lined with, there's big master plan community called Firelight that is, the group that developed Sun River is the group developing this, and actually the first residential subdivision is a Sun River community, 55 and older. But then there'll be residential along the whole highway for all different kinds of homes, as well as a big retail, commercial, town center area. So really, it'll just be pretty much a brand new part of Tokerville. And really a new entrance into Gateway into Zion.
I think a lot of the Tokerville people, residents, were like, yeah, the traffic's getting too much. There's too many cars coming right through our town. I know, I mean, they'll miss out on some commerce-type stuff, but there's not a lot of commerce right now yet anyway in Tokerville. And to have that road go around it, that'll alleviate a lot of problems they were having.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and then the Chief Toker is underway, is making really good progress as well. That one is supposed to be done with the construction by next August of 2026.
Wow. Okay.
And then they'll begin filling it, which will take through like the spring of 2027. It's going to be about 3,700 acre feet of water. Not big enough for motorized, but recreational activities are, you know, there will be fish. They're going to fill it with bass, from my understanding. Ooh, and then nice. they'll have kayaking and, yeah, all the different board activities, just nothing motorized.
No wakeboarding.
The big thing there is, go ahead.
I was going to say no wakeboarding, I guess, then.
No. But the big thing there for me is the water storage. I get asked a lot about water. obviously the water is a continuing conversation as it has been since our ancestors settled this area. And more water storage is a huge part of the water plan here in southern Utah, and we need more water storage so that the runoff and a lot of our water doesn't just run down the Virgin River to other states. So.
Yeah. Every time it rains, if we don't have storage for it, it goes and Nevada and California, whatever, they get it. So, all right, McCray, I know you got to go. I appreciate you spending a few minutes with us this morning.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Andy.
All right, see you later. McCray Hepler. And all I do, if I want to see one of McCray's videos, I just go on Facebook and I search for McCray Hepler, and boom, there it is. Pretty cool. Well, now let's get our resident realty expert. Mello is here. Hi, Mello. What's going on? I'm thinking maybe your mic's not
on
in there.
Yeah, oh, it's on.
Oh, there we go.
Good morning. It was not, but it is now.
Okay. Let's talk about, first of all, the Chief Toker Reservoir, the new Firelight with a bunch of homes being built. Tokerville is going to explode. Somebody said they're going to go from 1,700 residents to 17,000 residents over the next 5 years. Can you believe that?
Wow.
What will that do to the realty market? I mean, you're there in the trenches every day.
Yeah, I sell more in St. George and Washington, but I think it is opening it up. More people, I've been helping clients, and they're wanting to look out in Tokerville and Hurricane and Leverkin.
And that is on the way to Zion National Park. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's...
Yeah, it's opening it up. So I think it's going to really just explode the whole region because it's going to make everywhere want to be close to those places too. So it's going to be good.
Nice. Farmstead Bakery becoming Bon Rue because of trademark issues. It's a fascinating story. They actually had a few little mini trademark things when they first opened, but took care of those. Mm-hmm. And then this other group out in California, I guess somebody contacted them and said, hey, you can't have that name. That's ours. Even though it's Farmstead Restaurant and this is Farmstead Bakery. Anyway.
I know. It's a bummer, but I think that's great that they could rebrand. They're not so big yet as they're like spreading out across the street. It's a good time to do it.
You know what? Something I thought of, it's probably stupid, but I wonder how many boxes, you go to Farmstead, you buy three or four things, it comes in a Farmstead box. I wonder how many boxes they already had bought, and now they've got to figure out how to get rid of them.
Oh my gosh, I think I would just like have a sticker made that said Bon Rue Bakery and just put it on the top and keep the box.
He did, but the thing is, the box, Farmstead was like, like 250 point type, and the sticker was just this little round sticker. So when he brought the box, he did have a Bon Rue sticker on it, but it still said Farmstead all over the place.
Yeah.
Maybe that was part of the agreement with the Farmstead. We will change it, but we get to give out all our boxes still that we already bought.
I know, that would be frustrating, but...
By the way, Farmstead, Bon Rue has locations in St. George now, in Springdale, in Hurricane, and they have their big, gigantic kitchen out in Leeds right now. He told me that, he says, business is good. We're going to keep expanding.
And what about their coffee shop? I thought I saw a coffee shop that was FS.
FS.
Is that how they're kind of getting around that? With the coffee shop?
I don't think it has anything to do with trademark. They just kind of wanted the association, the FS Farmstead Coffee House, so FS Coffee House. One of the issues for FS Coffee House, they don't have a drive-thru like a lot of the coffee joints have around here, and I think that's hurting them. But,
I was wondering if they were keeping that as FS Coffee Shop.
I don't know. I don't know the answer.
I'll have to ask them for
next guess,
time.
My guess is, since FS could mean anything, it could stand for a foggy shaver. I don't know. I just made that up. But,
I know. I could tell.
Ouch.
I know. Sorry.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
I could tell, she said. All right. Well, just for you, Mello, I am going to play a little song right here.
Okay.
All right. See if it'll come up. It's kind of slow starting. And it's for you, but it's also for a certain someone.
Okay.
It's supposed to be playing.
It's supposed
right
to play.
Why is it not playing?
I don't know. That's going to be kind of fun, though. But I had not heard this song before and did not know it was in existence.
I'm going to try again. Here we go.
Do, do, do.
Yeah, I don't.
Do.
There it is. Finally. Like 10 second silent intro.
Angie,
he says.
When will those clouds all disappear?
All right, because of licensing and all that, I can't play any more of it. But that is the song "Angie" by the Rolling Stones, which some would contend, and that was old. I was an old rock DJ, was the very first monster ballad, a rock group that recorded a slow love song, and that song is "Angie." Now, the reason I played it, Mello, you have a sister named
Angie.
No, are you sure it's not Angie like Mick Jagger just said?
Angie. Maybe that's why I never realized that that's what it said before.
It does not sound like Angie, does it?
No, it does not. It does not.
He's British. I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with that. Or
yeah, no. Luckily my sister's in town, not for great reasons. My dad had to be hospitalized this week with his issues with his heart.
But it turned out a great reason, right? Because he's going to be okay.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Looks like he's going to be able to get out of the hospital hopefully today if he can behave, which, you know, cross your fingers because he doesn't always do what he's supposed to do.
It is 9:24. I've got a time to tell you about one of these news stories that I did today. This is a fascinating story. So northern Utah and southern Idaho are connected, obviously, by the freeways. And this lady decides, the police go to pull her over. She decides she's got a black Range Rover. She's like, I think I'll take off. So she does. She takes off. And so Idaho troopers chase her. They go across the border to Utah. The Utah troopers pick up the chase. This is up near Brigham City, up in northern Utah. And eventually, so they put, what are they, you know, the spike strips, whatever, they put those out. She goes off the exit and back on the freeway, avoiding the first set of spike strips. A little while later, and by the way, she's going fast, 135 miles per hour at times in this little black Range Rover. Anyway, eventually they get her to go over some other spike strips, and her car is disabled. And so cops, you know the whole scene. It's like in the movie. It really is like in the movie. You know, all the cops come with their guns drawn, and they're, get out of the car now, you know, all that stuff. So eventually, you know, she throws her hands out the window. They come up and get her, and she also had a passenger, and arrest both of them. But as they're pulling this lady out of her car, who had just done a police chase at 135 miles per hour, she has a big old grin on her face and she says, wasn't that fun? Now, if you're a police officer, you're going to have two emotions here. One would be complete indignation because, I mean, she was putting people's lives. She was weaving in and out of traffic, 130 miles an hour. She was crazy, could have killed somebody. So indignation and, like, what do you mean fun? You almost killed some people. There had to be, though, a little part of that police trooper that was like, actually, yeah, that was kind of fun.
That was kind of fun, right?
That was kind of fun.
How old was she?
In her 20s. I don't have the exact. I think it was 27 or 29 or something like that. Wow. So old enough to know better.
Yeah. Well, she did evade one of the strips.
She did.
Kind of fun.
She did. She, this was on I-84 and I-15 earlier this week. And it was a daytime chase. It wasn't dark. It was a daytime. 11 a.m. is when the pursuit began. And lasted somewhere in the neighborhood of an hour.
Wow.
They were chasing her around.
Well, I'm glad no one was hurt, but did she say why she did it, just for the fun of it?
I think it was when someone gets out after a high-speed chase and cops are pointing their guns at you and you're smiling and saying, wasn't that fun? Don't you think maybe she was probably, and this is me speculating, this is not fact, but don't you think she was probably under the influence of something?
I don't know.
Some kind of happy drug, perhaps?
And why did they arrest the passenger?
I don't know that. That's a good question.
Yeah. At least there were no children in the car, too. So
They didn't mention in the couple of different stories about it that I read that they didn't mention any charges for the passenger. So maybe they arrested the passenger and then let them go. Or maybe, the passenger was a male. Maybe he had been driving it first, and they at some point switched or something. A la Smokey and the Bandit. I don't know if you remember that old movie where Sally Field gets on top of Burt Reynolds' lap so they can switch places and all this stuff. And
have you ever done that while driving?
I have not, no.
I have.
Have you?
Yeah, I did. Don't. My dad's listening. I can't tell you the story. But
oh, come on. You're 40-something years old. Okay. You can tell it now, can't you?
So we were driving on this road, me and my friend, and we had a stick shift, too. It was his Ford Tempo, and we're driving, and it's kind of like down a hill. And so we switch while we're driving just to see if we could do it, and we did do it.
Wow.
Yeah. Sorry, Dad. Yeah.
Right. Reminds me of that scene from Footloose. Remember when the girl gets up on the, and she has to switch between cars and there's a diesel coming.
That was scary. But yeah.
That was kind of scary. And one of my 7 degrees of bacon right there, I guess. So wasn't that fun was what she said. So a man in St. George by the name of David Michael Thibodeau, he's 65 years old. has pled guilty to 10 second-degree felonies of sexual exploitation of a minor. And you're like, ooh, that sounds really bad. Mm-hmm. So here's kind of what happened, the background on it. And they quote extensively from one of the county prosecutors, Jerry Jaeger. He said, Jaeger basically said, this guy had downloaded hundreds of thousands of pornographic photos, mm-hmm. a very small percentage of which were child's pornographic mm-hmm. photos. He said it's very possible that this guy downloaded the child ones unknowingly and never even looked at the child ones. But the fact is, he was in possession of child pornography, and that's why he's being charged with crimes. And, you know, as disgusting as pornography is to me personally, it's not illegal. Child pornography is, but regular pornography is not illegal, even in the state of Utah. So, I guess I can understand with the prosecutor saying, "Look, we don't know if he even actually looked at any of this stuff. If he even knew it was there."
Mm-hmm.
And if you imagine, Mello, there, say you download several hundred thousand photos, mm-hmm. and a small portion, 1% of those are you know, underage kids.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Would you even know? And suppose the ones that are quote-unquote underage, what if it's like a 16-year-old girl who looks like a woman? And, mm-hmm. and how are you supposed to know if you're viewing? Now, that all being said, I'm making excuses, I guess, for this guy. All that being said, you really shouldn't download stuff where you're not sure what's in it.
Right, right. And I wonder, how would that affect, like, a family? Like, say there's a family living somewhere and their teenage son does that. Then who's responsible?
On the family computer?
Right, then
yeah.
Who's responsible for it?
Yeah.
And who gets arrested? And
I don't know. Are family computers a thing anymore? I know growing up with my kids, we had like, and I was insistent on this, we kept a computer in the main room of the house, like the living room, or it was kind of off the side of the kitchen, and everybody could use it, but it was in a public place so that mm-hmm. if they did use it, you know, we all knew what was
someone
going on.
Could walk
so,
by.
Yeah. Yeah. And is that still a thing? You have younger kids. Do you have a central computer that everybody can use or
we
not
have like
really?
a family laptop.
Okay.
So that they can use it for school or anything like that. So, yeah, we do.
Okay.
And it's usually used in the kitchen and don't put away.
One thing I was able to do, that I'm kind of proud of this. So my kids thought I was a techno nerd or no, the opposite of that, a techno.
I don't know.
Someone who didn't know anything about technology. I purposely let my kids understand or think that I didn't know anything about technology. And a couple of different times after we had been out, I came back and checked the cookies and the history and stuff and were able to bust on the kids for going to websites that they shouldn't have been. And the look on their face when they, how did you know that? You know,
I love that.
Busted. Anyway.
But sometimes you have to be careful when you bust them because then they know, you know. So how far down the rabbit hole do you let them go before you yank them out by the ears?
There was also a crash yesterday, a courtesy trap crash. What is that, you say? Well, we'll talk about that when we come back. Right now, I've got to get a commercial break in. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I have been embroiled in the heavy, heavy amount of baseball this week. I've been doing the state baseball tournament. Did, three games Monday. I did two games yesterday. I'm doing three games today. You know what? I love it. I do enjoy it, but it's not been easy. It's a lot of work. Imagine, so on Monday, and when I did three games, I was on the air from 6 to 10 here on KDXU. The first game was at 11, so I got off the air, did a couple of, I had to record the news and stuff, did a couple of things, then ran over there, was on the air at 11, and I was on the air from 11 a.m. till about 7:30 p.m.
Wow.
So what is that, 8.5 hours after being on the air for 4 hours already? And mm-hmm. I was thinking, even I'm sick of hearing my voice, you know, after all these
hours. It's amazing your voice is still going. Like, wouldn't it kind of wear out your voice a little bit? it?
Yeah, I think maybe. And I am feeling like right now, it doesn't hurt, but I'm feeling like a little crack there. Like at any moment, I could go through a puberty, right? Something like that. But.
Right.
All right, let's talk about a courtesy crash. Everybody's like, well, what does that mean? What is a courtesy trap or a courtesy crash? So you're driving up the road and there's a lot of traffic and you get up to where there's an intersection maybe a half a block away or whatever or a block away and the cars are backed up and stopped. Someone wants to turn left across traffic, right?
Yeah.
And so some people will go, okay, I'm going to leave a gap and let them go, and I'm going to wave them through. That's being courteous, right? Sometimes being courteous is not smart, because what happened yesterday happens a lot. Mm-hmm. Tiffany Mitchell from the police department was talking about this. You get the courtesy where you stop and let one through. The other lane, someone's coming.
They don't know.
And they can't see him. You're waving them through. They can't see that someone's coming. And so they start to turn because you said, hey, come on, and... Well, it happened yesterday on Mall Drive and Red Cliffs Drive, right there by the mall. One person waved someone through. They started to go. There was a car coming in the other lane. And so when the guy went, the car was like, uh-oh, what'd I do? So the car swerved and sadly swerved right into two pedestrians on the sidewalk.
No.
And it was an older couple, and they were seriously injured. And we don't have, I had heard that it was life-threatening injuries. I don't know what has happened, and due to HIPAA laws, it's actually made being a news person a lot more difficult because we will not get any updates. The only update we would get is if someone died, and I don't want that to happen.
No.
You're in that situation, and I'm sure someone pulls in front of you. You do whatever you can to avoid the crash, and unfortunately, they did not see those pedestrians until they had already hit them. But the courtesy trap crash.
We talked about that a while ago, because I am guilty of doing that. Like, I'll stop because I'm backed up on my lane, but then the other one isn't, so I don't wave anybody through anymore.
To me, that's a real key to it. If you stop and leave a little gap, that's understandable, and you probably should do that, right? If someone wants to turn. But I almost feel like you are partially responsible for the crash if you go, okay, I stopped, go on through, and you start waving them through and everything.
Right.
Because now, if both lanes are stopped, right, and both lanes leave a gap, I can say, all right, go ahead and wave them through. That's cool. But if you wave someone through and they get in a crash, which I think is what happened yesterday, they will not get any charges for the courtesy person, but I almost feel like they should get in trouble for that.
I know. I feel like you should just go around and make a right turn somewhere so you're a little safer. I don't like to make left turns as much as I used to. I used to be more fearless when I was a driver.
Go around the block. I've become that way too. Not as aggressive as I used to be. And I hate waiting. You know, you sit there and wait for an hour to turn. Nobody wants to do that. Mm-hmm. And so
just go around the block. Turn right.
There is one other courtesy trap type thing that drives me crazy, is when a car will stop. So you see someone maybe standing in the center middle lane, a pedestrian, and there's no crosswalk. But somebody in front of you goes, hey, I'm going to let them go across. And they stop for him in the middle of the road with no crosswalk, no stoplight, anything. And they tell and they stop so that person can cross. And you're either behind the car that stops or maybe you're in the other lane. And it's like, what are you doing? You just basically put all of our lives in danger because you won't follow traffic rules.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost guarantee you that person that was crossing was waiting for them to hurry by so they could go.
Right.
But instead, you stop for him and cause what could be a very, very bad situation. That drives me nuts.
I just say it looks like human Frogger. Like they're hop, hop, pop, pop.
We went to a play out at Tuacon, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago. It was the opening night for Little Mermaid.
Mm.
And when you leave, you know, big crowd, lots of traffic, it got me thinking about that whole let people in thing again. Mm-hmm. I know we talked about this in the past, but I'm wondering if there is a rule of thumb we should go by. Here's what happened to me. I'm going along and I let one person in, and my rule is one. I let one in and then I go, and I figure then the guy behind me can let one in and they go. But then I get up to the next intersection and there's like two or three cars before I'm there, and this guy pulls out and just like forces his way in between cars. And he's got a big old, I don't know, it was a full size SUV, like a Sequoia or something like that. And so, you know, it to me, it really felt like the guy said, I'm bigger than all y'all, and I'm coming. And if you don't like it, too bad for you.
Too bad for you. We're coming.
And that drew that. I was not happy. I'm sitting there yelling at him in the car, and not, you know, nobody can hear me just except my wife. And my wife actually says, "Honey, settle down. You're stressing me out."
Oh.
And I was like, "Well, what do you mean I'm stressing you out? He's the idiot." She's like, "I know, but you're creating this high stress atmosphere inside our car, and it was something that you couldn't do anything about." And she's right. I was two or three cars back. I couldn't do anything about it. But it still made me mad, and I was like, well, who else can I vent to if I can't vent to my wife,
right? No, I have seen on these videos, like when people are leaving concerts and there's like a group of people in your car, and what this group of people did is they brought like one of those construction vests.
Oh, I've heard of that, yeah.
And then they hop out of their car, and then they put the vest on, and they stop the traffic and let their friend in, and then they hop in the car.
Yeah.
That would make me mad.
That's kind of a cheap shot, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, so do you have a rule when in a heavy, maybe like a giant parking lot like Tuacana, do you let one in? Do you let three in? Do you let none in? What's your kind of handy rule?
It depends. Like if somebody in front of me like is kind of being rude and not letting one in and doing the one in, one out, then I'll let a couple more in. Okay. I haven't always been like that. I've usually been like the sequoia.
You're making it. I'm coming, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, and then I wave at them so they feel bad, like I made them think it was their idea, and then I guess to get in front.
Oh man, I'm kind of mean.
I am.
It's like nails on a chalkboard sometimes with you.
I am. I know. I'm a little aggressive, but I am working on that very, very thoroughly in my life, and I'm doing better.
Right.
So I'm letting a couple cars, and I'm like, you know, it's going to be okay.
By the way, if you want to text and give your opinion on how many people we should let in if we're in a heavy traffic, it's a 435-467-5842, 435-467-5842. You can always call and you'll hear Mello's sweet voice at 673-5890 as well. Thanks again for McCray for coming on. We got to talk a little bit about Chief Toker Reservoir and about the Zion Canyon Hot Springs coming up. You know, you talk about development and it feels like all of it's happening like in the south part of town down there, you know, Desert Color and the lagoon and all the restaurants, and that's where the new Costco is going to be. But I think people forget about kind of the east and the northeast of here. We've got some pretty cool stuff happening.
Yeah. So,
and that is kind of on the way to Zion National Park there. Mm-hmm. So
I want to check that hot springs out. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, me too. The one thing, because I have this sepsis cellulitis issue, I don't know if I'm going to be allowed to get in the hot springs because I don't want to say there will be bacteria, and they're working really hard to make sure it is purified and everything, but I have to be really cautious on what kind of water I get in. I'm not allowed to get in the ocean or a lake or a river anymore.
Oh, man.
Imagine that.
No, it sounds terrible. Like a bummer.
Yeah. Chlorine is my friend, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Andy Griffin. This is the Andy Griffin Show. Mello Finlayson is with me as well this morning. Hey, Mello.
Good morning.
Looking fantastic as always. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
So I was reading this article, and the title of the article is a little bit misleading. Bring Back Shaming is the name of the article. He does talk about that, but he talks about a couple of different things that why people should be shamed. And one of them is, I guess there's this trend out there. They call it book talk. It's basically women are, especially women, not just women, but mostly women, are really getting into a genre of books that are, well, let's call them spicy romance books. Mm. And they've always, you know, they always had the Harlequins, but these are kind of, well, the author compares them to pornography only with words.
Hmm.
And anyway, he said they barely qualify as literature. because the writing is bad. It's the whole idea is to set up a scenario to describe, you know, immoral acts.
Uh-huh.
He said this, and then he kind of brings that into shame. He said someone actually criticized the genre, and there were hundreds of comments saying, "How dare you shame us for the type of literature that we choose to participate in? At least we're reading and not just watching videos." I just thought it was funny. It's like, are we not allowed to shame anybody for anything anymore? I don't know. Is shaming bad?
I think I wouldn't judge somebody, and I guess that would be the same as shaming. So
kind of,
I think that you shouldn't shame. I think it's okay to have an opinion that you don't like that, and I think that's okay. But I don't necessarily think shaming. Like, what about all those nerds that people that enjoy comic books or like the Japanese books that are all pictures
anime,
and words,
yeah,
anime, right?
Yeah.
Like, is that literature? I would argue it's not. But like in school, they let my daughter read those and do reports on those. Mm. So,
well, let me ask you a question. So I have a little story for you. This mm-hmm. was this would have been approximately 30, 27, 28 years ago. I'm doing a college football broadcast. And Mike McGarry was play-by-play. I was the color commentator. And this referee makes a call on the play. Now, we're up in the press box. Referee makes a call on the play, grabs the ball, and marks off the penalty. Now, this referee was portly.
Uh-huh.
He was a large man. And by large, I don't mean tall. I made the comment during the broadcast. I said, oh, that's a big boy. In fact, the only guy bigger than him in this building is me. So I was using self-deprecating humor to try to kind of, and, you know, in retrospect, nowadays I would not say that. I would not comment on the size of the official. But apparently this guy's wife was listening to the broadcast.
Uh-oh.
And so the next morning, and this was, you know, this was a nighttime game. The next morning, I guess it would have been Saturday. So maybe it would have been Monday morning. She called the station manager. And told the station manager that she did not appreciate what I had said and that her husband had struggled with his weight his whole life. And for me to point it out on the radio, even though I never used his name, was very, very uncool. And I should be fired.
Oh, my.
Now, the good news is I didn't get fired. Not for that, although I got fired for other stuff I've said on the air before. I don't know. I felt like I softened the blow. Yeah, maybe I shamed him a little bit for being big, but I felt like I softened the blow by making fun of myself mm-hmm. first.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what my boss said to me. He said, yeah, you shouldn't really comment on the ref's weights, but at least you made fun of yourself first. And it was kind of funny, actually,
right.
what you said.
Right.
And I just wonder now. Everybody's so sensitive anymore. I just wonder now. But that was 28 years ago. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, so, people are a lot more sensitive now.
Yeah.
You can't say anything. You can't look at anybody the wrong way.
Yeah.
You can't. Oh, it's hard. It's hard because I have so many opinions and my face doesn't lie with what I'm thinking. And so I get in trouble sometimes and I don't mean to, but.
There's a song called Hips Don't Lie, but for you it's Face Don't Lie.
No, I cannot lie. Like if I just can't. So don't ask me my opinion because my lips can't lie either. So like if you ask me, then I will tell the truth and I don't.
But are you, so my mother-in-law, she's passed away, but she was a New Jersey, the classic New Jersey woman.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one attribute of a real Jersey woman is she has no filter. If she sees something, she will tell you exactly what she's thinking. Do you have a filter then, Melo? Are you able to, if you're thinking something, at the very least, just keep your mouth shut?
You shouldn't sit next to me in a meeting. Because the people next to me are laughing the whole time because I do have a running commentary in my head and I will whisper it enough that a couple people around me will get to enjoy it as well. So
okay.
I don't really have a filter, but I can be professional and not say things if I really, really need to, like in a court of law.
You have the right to remain silent, you know.
Yes, that's true.
My wife, maybe I shouldn't even spread this around, but they have staff meeting every week, and mm-hmm. she calls it, oh, it's time for staff infection.
Oh, no, that's so funny.
Yeah, and she's not as classical Jersey girl as her mom was, mm-hmm. but she will sometimes tell it like it is, which mm-hmm. for an overly sensitive guy like me sometimes isn't always the way that
She doesn't like sugarcoat it, really, does she? She just kind of says... Yeah.
Not like I said, not as bad as her mom, but one time I got yelled at by my mother-in-law because you know how you got a little kid, maybe 4 years old, and you swing him around in circles by the arms?
Yes.
She had read an article on the internet that saw that there was an increased amount of dislocated shoulders among small children because parents were swinging them by their arms, and therefore I had to stop or I was going to really injure my child.
Oh. Yeah. Her grandchild, too, by the way.
Yeah, her grandchild, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did I stop?
No,
I didn't.
You probably did it faster.
But then I got home and told my wife, why did she, that's a stupid article. It's rare occurrence. Mm-hmm. They don't say that in the article, how rare it is. But mm-hmm. all she read was, oh, parents are killing their children by breaking their shoulders.
Right.
Lifelong injury. Yeah.
Right. There's probably another issue you're not sharing with you and your mother-in-law, is my opinion on that one. There's probably some other things that have been said
that
have questioned your parenting in other ways. So you're taking it a little more personal.
Yeah, I don't know. I really like my mother-in-law. She was a great lady. Mm-hmm. The hardest part for them was that they did not want us to get married. And they said, we will not support you financially, pay for a reception or anything like that.
Oh, no.
And because my wife was young. She was 18 when we got engaged, 19 when we got married. And they're like, no, we want her to get her college degree done before. And so therefore, but in the end, my wife finally got up the gumption to go, you know what? I'm getting married anyway. I don't need your money.
Mm.
And after that happened and we got married, then we actually went back to New Jersey and had an open house that they paid for. So they did come around eventually.
That's good.
But, and the other thing was they had saved up for her college fund and they pulled all that money and said, oh, you want to go to college? You pay for it yourself then, now
really?
That you're married. So, and it's funny because when my wife graduated, walked across the stage, she was pregnant with our oldest, walked across the stage and got her college degree, and her dad, after the ceremony, handed her a check, and I thought it was going to be like the college fund. I thought it was going to be this big giant check, and it was for like $150 or something.
For diapers.
Like, oh, gee, thanks. So anyway, as far as shaming, oh, a couple of texts. Let me get these texts before we go. Let's say, that one is just, I want that your number in case I have a question. I agree, society is way too sensitive, but I can't think of a time where a put down such as shaming is okay to do to someone. What mm-hmm. if someone is doing something really not good, not cool? Like, you know, what if you're at a concert and the guy's, you know, I don't know, drunk and making an mm-hmm. ass of himself. Mm-hmm. Is it okay to point that out?
I don't know. I know I keep going back to this book that I read, The Let Them.
Let Them. Oh, yeah. And my wife got into that book, by
Did
the way,
she?
Because of you.
Oh,
yeah.
Yay, I'm so glad.
She's in the Let Them mode now.
My other sister, Tori, that's here, she just got the stickers on the back of her car that say Let Them. And it's been so great for her, too. I think letting people do what they're going to do is fine. I think if you're my friend or family member is when my filter is less.
All right.
I can be polite in public.
So you have... Oh, there we go. I got Mick Jagger going in the background.
That's
because
super
we're
fun.
Running out of time. And
yeah.
Hi, Angie. Thanks for listening today. Appreciate it. We won't shame you if you don't shame us.
That's right.
That's a deal, right?
Let's just all get along. Love each other.
Oh, you're quoting Rodney King now?
I didn't know that, was I?
Yeah.
Oh, that's even better.
Don't you sense of history there, Rodney King? You know the whole story about the L.A. riots after the police officers were acquitted? Rodney King was the guy that had gotten beaten on video and the riots and people
that.
Were killed. And Rodney King went on record, on audio, said, can't we all just get along?
That's right. Yeah. Let's just get along.
Pretty good words for a guy who'd been had the scrud beaten out of by a couple of police officers. So.
Yeah.
All right, we got to go. We'll let Mick Jagger sing us out to the break. Thanks, everybody. Chris Haley on tomorrow. Mellon, great to talk to you.
Thank you.